Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's May 16th. And it's a beautiful day here in the studio. It's even nicer outside. I've got Sam Grass in the studio with me and Trevor. Trevor's not on the mics, just on the board this morning again. But Sam's here on the mic. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing well.
Good. I like that it's a beautiful studio. This is one of the most blasé studios that I know of.
But the weather's nice.
That's right. It was good. It was a good transition. You recovered well.
It's not raining.
That's right. Well, you're right about that.
Just us in Atlanta here today. Anything interesting going on? Are you following either the hockey or the basketball series?
Doesn't involve West Virginia. You know I'm not.
Well, they don't have a professional team.
That's why I have no interest in it.
They don't have a professional anything, as far as I know.
Okay, then we can move on.
All right. Let's move on then. We have two guests in our studio this morning, and we have the first up, we've got Blake Hawkins. Blake is the CEO and a partner at the Hail Mary Sports Pub in Grayson, Georgia. And Blake is also living the whole family caregiving scenario right now, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And we also have Ginger Couch, who is the regional director of community relations at the Benton House.
Let me hold the card for you to write.
Yeah, my arms need to be longer. Good morning. Thank you for being here. We're glad you're here. We're going to start with Blake this morning, and Blake, we've got an event to talk about, but before we do that, if you could just give us a little bit of a history, where are you from, where'd you grow up and go to school, and you're now the owner of the Hail Mary Sports Pub. How did you get where you are?
It's sort of a long story, but to make it short, grew up in North Georgia. The family moved to Florida, and I started my education actually at the University of Georgia, and then transferred to Florida State and majored in recreation and worked for Lee County Parks and Rec down there for many years. Then when my parents moved from Florida to North Georgia, I needed to be a little bit closer, so I came up and looked at the Atlanta area, found a job in Gwinnett County Parks and Rec, and worked there for 11 years until we opened the pub. And that was sort of a dream that I wanted to do and had some really good partners that agreed, and so we will be 5 years in October.
Wow. So now, I know that you and I met each other through Friends of Gwinnett County Senior Services, and I guess I didn't make the link till you said that just now, but having been involved in Parks and Recreation, I imagine that you were aware of Friends, and you knew people like Gary Galloway.
Absolutely, very aware, and worked closely together with him. I was responsible for marketing for Parks and Recreation for a long time, and that's what Gary does. So we did a lot of events together, and we raised a lot of money together and had a lot of the same resources, and we're in the same department. So we've been friends for a long time.
Excellent, excellent. And you both live on the east side of the world.
Yes.
So you said owning a sports pub was kind of a dream of yours. How did the opportunity come along?
The city of Grayson 5 years ago passed a liquor by the drink ordinance, which was pretty unusual for a small city like that in Gwinnett to do. And there was one place in operation, and we felt there was room for another. So we put a business plan together for over a year and really worked out the details. And then a new location came open in Grayson, a really nice shopping center location, brand new. And it was on the corner, and it was in downtown, and that's where we wanted. We were very specific about being inside the city of Grayson for the liquor, of course, but that's where we all live. We want to be part of our community. So we went to the landlords, gave a presentation, and we actually won the spot over a big chain. And we've been there, like I said, it'll be 5 years in October. And we just felt like that we had had a lot of experience in pubs, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but, you know, we travel a lot and had gone to a lot of different places, and we really enjoyed that. We were the kind of people that all of us and the partners and our families like to go out and watch the games. You know, being a big Seminole fan, I, you know, really get into it, and my partners do as well. They're Georgia fans and Notre Dame fans, so we thought we could do this. And so we've pretty well successfully pulled it off. We have a good local crowd, a good business going in Grayson, and we're a big part of the community. And the event that we're doing this weekend is part of that, you know, that we give to children, we give to seniors, and we give to as many people as we can. And that was part of our mission from the beginning, was to be part of the community and give back as much as we could. And that makes us just not a business in the community, but the business partner, you know, and a neighbor.
So, and I told you before the show, you know, this event happens every year. This is the fourth time that we will be holding this. You'll be holding this event, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute. But I haven't been to the pub, and so, you know, tell me a little bit about what makes it special in the community, and, you know, when you walk in the door. Obviously, it's a neighborhood place. It's not a big chain. What's unique about it?
I think that our customer service is by far the most unique aspect, as well as one of the partners will always be there. So that's really important to folks. When they come in the door, they know that, you know, the ownership of the establishment is there, and that we care and we run the operation, and that we're not just guys sitting back, you know, counting money, that we're there every day. We make it happen. We talk to all of our customers. I sat last night with some folks for an hour at a table, the regular customers who are seniors, and was sort of talking to them about my experiences I'm having lately. And it was, you know, those are the type of relationships that we wanted to build and that we have built. So when you come in, it feels like a neighborhood pub. You're going to know somebody there, or you're going to know one of the people who own the place that's there, that's going to speak to you and talk to you and not just give you the brush off. So we're there to be part of the community, and it does feel like a neighborhood pub. You know, we have a look of a chain, but we're a local neighborhood pub.
I heard you say that this morning, before you came over, you stopped in, you had to do some of the financials, but what does a day at the pub look like for you?
I wear many hats. I do a lot of cooking. I cook a lot during the day, unloading the truck, making the food orders, bartend is needed, host, seat, greet. Clean tables, bust tables, wash dishes, whatever it takes.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
Typical business owner, yeah.
Absolutely. all of us, my partners and I, wear many hats to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that helps build the team as well.
It does.
Blake, before we go any further, let's take a step back. And you have a unique experience that you're living at the moment. And it relates very well, ties in very well to our show as well as the event on Saturday. So just give our listening audience as much as you care to what's going on in your life and some of the experiences.
Sure. My my parents live in North Georgia in Chatsworth. And my mother was diagnosed with dementia 6 years ago. And we are probably in the final stages of that disease. And my father's been her primary caregiver. So last week, he went into the hospital for a routine colonoscopy, which didn't go very well, and he had a lot of complications. So since then, he's been in the hospital. Put my mother into a nursing home for a 5-day respite stay through hospice, and that expired, obviously, so we had to make a decision. And my father was not really able to help us with the decision-making process, so my sister and myself decided to place her into a home. We had been to an elder attorney. We had everything we thought squared away. I just didn't anticipate how difficult it would be to find a bed in a nursing facility in the Dalton-Chatsworth area. And we had done our due diligence and our homework. We had visited all the facilities. We had sort of graded them and rated them and picked out the ones that we wanted. But as a community intake, it's very difficult to get a community bed unless you go through Medicaid with a 3-day hospital stay and all of that. This is information I had no idea about, even going through an elder attorney. And it's been very difficult. It's been really stressful just to make these decisions as the child with your parents are not able to help you, especially when your mother can't communicate. And so long story short, we've got a good education in the last couple of weeks about this. I'll leave here today and go to Chatsworth and move her from one facility to another. And I'm doing that because my father will leave the hospital and go to rehab, and he will be in the same facility. And it's really important for him to see her. That's all he keeps asking about. Mm. So we thought that would help his progress to get back to health and get back home. And that's our goal with him, and we expect that to happen. So you know, 6 years with dementia is a long time. You know, my dad's done a great job. He's a trooper, and we're proud of him. But it was time to place her, and so we're doing all of that. But I had no idea how difficult it would be to get a bed and to make all this happen.
You you mentioned about a community bed. You mentioned that term and getting a bed. Just for our listeners, so for clarification, what does that mean, a community bed?
The nursing facilities that we had options for were owned by the hospital. And those were the only choices that we really had in our town, which is important for us, just to keep her in our Dalton-Chatsworth area. The Medicare and Medicaid is completely different when it goes into entering a nursing home. If you are in a hospital and you're hospitalized for 3 days and you need skilled nursing, then you're pretty much guaranteed a bed in a home because Medicare pays more than Medicaid. If you're just a community intake who is reached a point in your life where you need to go into a nursing home for care and to live, Medicaid normally is that program and doesn't pay as much. So it's a business. And, you know, I run a business. I get it. I get the dollars and cents. I truly do. But it's unfair. We didn't realize, you know, the complications that were involved. And I'm not really well educated in this area, but I think that Georgia is one of the few states left that has that law that allows them to dictate number of beds for Medicaid versus Medicare. So, you know, we had picked a facility, you know, a really nice facility. We met the staff, we had interviewed, and we had a number two spot as well. And number one facility had beds, but they were not beds for my mother as a community intake. Yeah. And so luckily yesterday, as a matter of fact, a turn of events happened where the second choice called and said, we have a male bed and a female bed. And I said, well, that's perfect. So I work with a social worker in the hospital or a social worker through hospice to make all this happen, and I'm having to revoke one hospice to go to another hospice because the home doesn't have a contract with the other hospice. So the maze is unbelievable. And I wonder what people who did not have the benefit of an elder attorney, how do they get through this?
They don't. The whole thing for our listeners to grab hold of is, as long as you are dependent upon the government or social services to provide services, you don't have freedom of choice. And for some reason, our general public has lost sight of that. And it's true. And that's the way the system is. And it's that way virtually. There are some states that are easier to work within, but that is the general statement of what goes on in the environment.
Here's the thing I find fascinating about this. Every week for the last 3 years, we've had a show, and we've had guests on the show, and we have guests from hospice, and we have guests from rehab and from nursing homes, and we have elder law attorneys, and we have geriatric care managers, and they're all silos of care. And that's not your world, and that's not anybody's world who's trying to take care of a loved one. And those of us in the business have a tendency to forget that.
Yeah.
Probably the ones that don't forget this so much is the geriatric care managers, because that's their job. That's, you know, they're there to help their clients navigate, but not everybody can afford a geriatric care manager. And so it's really interesting to hear this notion of having to put it all together and put it all together in a short period of time while you're running a business and taking care of your family. And I don't know if you have kids, but, you know, if you had kids or if you do have kids, that tosses in yet one more complicating factor. So it's fascinating to hear you talk about that. What surprised you the most about this process?
The most surprising was the selection process for who gets a bed and who doesn't. I guess I was naive to the fact that I thought that, you know, we were approved. And I use that term very loosely, because when I met with my father, with the elder attorneys, and my sister to go through all of this and to lay this out for the best possible outcome for our mother's future, knowing she had dementia, and it was important for us to get the best care she could, we thought once we were approved and certified, and this is our second certification year, that everything was good to go, and that's not at all the case.
Well, it was good to go, but just not where you wanted your mother to be. I mean, that's the whole point of that has to be made, is that you do have benefits, and they are available. Now, how those benefits come to you, in what form and shape they come to you, and where they come to you, is a different story.
It is. It's a completely different story. And I had to make a decision in one day, Tuesday of last week, as to where to place my mother. And I went and visited four different facilities. I'd been there a year before, and we had readied them and scored them. And going back, there's different staff, there's different things going on, so there's a different experience. And, you know, I eliminated two immediately. And one, you know, it was just a very difficult process to take a 15-minute interview with staff and folks and take a tour really quickly and then have to go back and make a decision with your father unable to because he's, you know, he's not of sound mind at that time. And right. It was just unfair, you know. But it is, we're lucky that we had the care that we did to make the decision that we did.
Now, let me ask you this. Not sure what your father's prognosis is going forward, but certainly there's a possibility that he'll recover and he'll leave the nursing home. What kind of impact is that going to have on him and on your mom then when they are no longer living together?
That's a really good point. We do expect him to recover fully and regain his strength and go back home. We spoke yesterday about this at length in the hospital, and he understands that it's time for her to be placed permanently. He gets that. We realize that it's going to take an issue with his health to make that happen. And for about a year, he's been ailing, and his health has been put on the back burner, if you will, because of her care. So his health has declined, so he's aware of that. He understands that now and gets it. And his goal is to get out of the hospital and rehab as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be there. We are concerned about once he gets back home and she's not there, the loneliness factor. You know, he's going to probably have about a six-week period of home care himself to get back to, you know, his good physical being and good health. But we are concerned how that's going to affect him. And we're not sure. You know, my mother suffered with caregiver syndrome prior to her Alzheimer's because she was always taking care of everybody in the family who was sick, and her right. mother and her sisters and everyone. So she went through that depression phase, which we kind of feel was the beginning of the dementia period. And so we're not sure how he's going to react when he gets home, but, you know, we'll handle it when we get there. Right now, it's just one day at a time to get through that.
And he still drives when he's
yes,
healthy?
Absolutely, yeah. He's in great shape. He was golfing last week. It was just a really weird turn of events.
I just want to repeat another beautiful phrase, and that was caregiver depression, and it's so true. They all go through it. You spoke of your mother, your father. If he hasn't, probably will. It's a situation that you have to know that's coming at you. Yeah.
One of the things that Sam and I have been talking about, you know, because we do a blog on our website, and we've recently been talking about hospital readmissions and why they happen. But you know, we're coming to the end of that, and we were talking about what's the next series of topics, and the next series of topics is going to be having difficult conversations with your parents. And, you know, I saw a book about this recently. Sam and I were at an event where we heard the author, and he had 9 conversations, but we started talking, and there's 24 conversations. And one of them is, how do you deal with a parent who is a primary caregiver who you see is burning out, or you see is depressed, or you see is resentful? We've had clients in our business. So in our business, we put caregivers in elderly and disabled people's homes. And we see situations all the time where maybe a spouse, you know, maybe a husband has mistreated his wife all his life. And now she's taking care of him, and she's angry. And it's, you know, so how do you talk to your parents about that? Because she needs somebody to vent with, but she might not want to vent with you. If she doesn't vent, there's a chance that she ends up taking it out on her spouse, and he suffers, and maybe he deserves it, but maybe he doesn't, you know. It's fascinating to hear the story, and there's just so much to talk about. What, and this may be an obvious question, maybe you've already answered it, but what do you wish that you had known on the front end of this?
I thought that I had a lot of research. I had spent a lot of time with my father, our social worker with the hospice organization, talking about this. We were working with my dad, preparing him for placing her into a home, because we realized that she's getting slower and slower. And I suppose that if I were to have any advice for anyone else, that to completely do all of the homework that you can do. And the nursing home thing was a surprise to me. As I said, I thought, you know, once you were certified, you were good to go. And financially, we were. But finding a location, we weren't. For example, when I went to the home that we really wanted, they said, we can put you on the waiting list. Well, had I known they had a waiting list, I would have been on it a year ago. Yeah. Right. And then had they called, I could have declined. They said, just put me back at the bottom of the list and keep me on the list. Right. I didn't know that those such things existed.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize even when we went into the nursing home, there's not a checklist of what to do and bring. I took a television. There was no cable service. And no one told me that for 4 days. It was, you know, things like that, the little things that we take so for granted in our daily life, that, you know, we get up and get ready and go to work and we have cable and we have all of this and it's all taken care of. Those type of things, it's like really sending a kid off to camp. You know, you got to pack the suitcase, get all their toiletries and hairbrushes and all the good stuff, and then make sure they have television and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just be prepared. Do your homework and expect the unexpected, because there's going to be something that's going to happen that's going to throw you for a loop.
Good. We often hear the piece of advice of plan in advance, do your homework. We've never heard anybody say before, get on the list, even if you don't need it, get on the list, and then if they call you, go back to the bottom of the list. Yeah. That's a great piece of advice, and simple, but we've, you know, in 125 shows or 130 shows, we've never heard that.
Yeah. So. Blake, that's a great, great story. We feel for you. We hear the care and concern and emotion in your voice, and we certainly respect that and willing to assist in any way we can. Let's transition, though, now back to the special event on Saturday. Talk about that and what you're doing.
Sure. The Crawfish Bowl, it's a shrimp and crawfish bowl, and this is our fourth year. And we're very fortunate that when we opened the pub, we gave a lot to the youth in the community. And so in speaking with Gary and the folks in senior services at the time, you know, we did not do anything for seniors. We did a lot for kids, and everybody does that. And with my parents' situation, it was important. So we have a mutual friend, Ray Sessions, and Marilyn, his wife, used to work with senior services as well. And he was doing a crawfish bowl privately at the Braves Stadium every year, and he had been doing it for years. And they said, why don't we bring it to the pub and do a fundraiser? That's a great idea. Everyone loves crawfish and loves that atmosphere and that fun of eating it. So we have a lot of great vendors we work with, Cisco and Eagle Rock Distributing, that provide all of the food. There are adult beverages available as well. If you don't drink adult beverages, you can have iced tea or whatever you would like. But so it's a big team that puts this all together with senior services and our vendors, and then just a location. We're just basically the location for the event. And we've probably sold 100 tickets already, and there's only about 120 available. It is a limited thing. Mm-hmm. And it is this Saturday the 19th from 4 to 7. It is all you can eat. And if you're interested in getting tickets, you can call the pub. The phone number is 770-963-0205, and we can charge them over the phone for you, whatever you like to do, put them on will call. But the event will probably raise up to $1,000. We do have, you know, a lot of donations as well. A lot of people just buy tickets and don't arrive, and so that gives us some more room for some other folks. We have a great group of regulars that come, and we have people calling every day. So we're really looking forward to doing it again. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Our weather looks good so far. And we're going to raise some money for some seniors there in Gwinnett County, and hope that you know, it all goes to good work. I don't know what they're going to use it for, whether it's Meals on Wheels or fans for homebound seniors or home repairs or whatever. It's needed.
Any and all of the above. Blake, what's the address of the pub?
We're located in Grayson on Highway 20. It's 1950 Grayson Highway, Suite 140.
And two things I want to point out. First of all, the first time we did this, it was a crawfish boil. And I think maybe the second time. But last year, we realized that there are those who don't like pinching the heads off crawfish. And so we added shrimp to the mix last year. I think we're doing that again this year.
Yes, and actually King and Prince Seafood down in Jekyll Island has donated the shrimp for the last 2 years. And yeah. One of my partner's brother used to work there, so it's a really small family we have in this little pub environment that we have going on. But yeah, I for one am one of those people. I'm the shrimp guy. I'm the Florida person, not the Louisiana Gulf Coast.
And we're grateful to them for donating the shrimp. All the money will go to Friends of Gwinnett County Senior Services.
Yes.
And Friends of Gwinnett County Senior Services exists for one and only one reason, and that is to move money into Gwinnett County Senior Services for things like you mentioned, the home-delivered meals, emergency home repair, transportation, respite care, that sort of thing. Friends of Gwinnett doesn't have any employees, so every dollar that's given to Friends of Gwinnett goes right to Gwinnett County Seniors, and we truly appreciate your support of Friends. One other point that I will make, and that is, and I don't know that we did this last year, but we're doing it this year, there are designated driver tickets available for $15, so that would be someone who doesn't want to partake in adult beverages.
Correct.
And then $25 for a full ticket.
Would that driver bring me from Grayson back to Forsyth County?
If that driver's name is Aaron. So, and one other thing, I know you do have a website out there because I visited it last night. What's your website?
It's thehailmarysportspub.com.
The, T-H-E, Hail Mary, H-A-I-L, Mary, sportspub.com. We're out of time, but I'm sure there's a story behind the name of the bar, and I guess
it's just the past. We threw our business out to Grayson and hoped that they would catch it and we would succeed, and we have.
So it was a 90-yard pass to the end zone.
And absolutely. Everything we had, we threw in this pass, and we're making it work.
That's outstanding. Great. Very good. Well, thank you for being
with
us
thank
this
you guys.
Morning. We're going to now go to Ginger Couch, and as I said before, Ginger's the Regional Director of Community Relations for the Benton House, and good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
Awesome.
So kind of same routine. Give us a little bit of background on yourself and where you grew up, where you went to school, and how'd you get where you are now?
Sure. I grew up in South Fulton County. I went to LaGrange College for my undergrad. Then I decided to get my master's, and I headed off to West Georgia for that. Was a poor, starving student, so got married, and my husband's like, you got to get a job while you finish your master's. So happened to find a job in activities in senior housing and jumped on that and kind of for extra hours, worked as a caregiver, as a med tech, and was able to work my way up and in that company, and just got lots of experience. And then Principal Senior Living Group, which is the parent company for Benton House and Manor on the Square, I was able to get a job with them in Noonan, and there again worked my way up with this company. So
you are not still in Noonan?
I live in Noonan.
You live in Noonan.
And I have five different communities that I'm responsible for more of the sales and marketing type support.
Gotcha.
For those communities.
From Noonan all the way up to Alpharetta.
That's almost as bad as you, Blake.
So, I mean, it's five different communities that I'm in charge of. Covington, Douglasville, Noonan, Stockbridge, Manor on the Square, and Roswell. And that's just, you know, five of our.
Oh, my goodness. You got north, south, east, and west there.
Well, I know. I'm spoiled. When I go to Noonan, it's 5 minutes away. Douglasville's 30 minutes away, but everything else is a little bit
Roswell, further. You probably try and go in the middle of the day.
Yeah. If I leave at 7:30, if I leave at 8:30, I still get there at the same time. So.
Yeah. Well, coming up through the middle of town, that's got to be a challenge. So, So are they all called, well, I guess I heard one's the Manor on the Square
Manor
and
the
other
Square.
A Benton House.
Mm-hmm. Manor on the Square we just recently acquired around November, and so that's not going to be a Benton House, but all of our other communities are, you know, Benton House of Noonan or Benton House of Douglasville, and then we do have one called the Garden House in Anderson, South Carolina.
Okay, and how did you, how long have you been with Principal Senior Living?
Almost 3 years.
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, lots of experience. Kind of what brought me into this field besides just needing a job when I was finishing my master's was my grandmother suffered with Alzheimer's. My mother and her two sisters and myself would be a caregiver after my grandfather passed away to just go to her house, prepare her meals for the week, to check on her, and it eventually became too much. So We had to move her closer to us. And you know, 25 plus years ago, assisted livings were very limited at that time. So we chose one in Union City, Christian City, and I was able to volunteer there and, you know, do some, you know, fun things in activities based, be around my grandmother, things like that. But, you know, I see, understand the caregiving side of things and then also being helping families in situations now.
Where did you move her from?
She was living at home in Lithonia.
In Lithonia.
And her other two daughters, besides my mother, were kind of around in that area. So, you know, we were having to do frequent checks and help them with meals and stuff.
Ginger, give us your differentiators with the Benton houses or the Principal Senior Living Group. Tell us what makes them unique.
I think what makes them unique is our dedication to care and service. We want to educate everybody that comes into our doors, whether or not they choose Benton House or, you know, Manor on the Square. We just really want to make sure that they receive all the, you know, understanding of the big picture and what's going to work best for their family, whether it be to stay at home or a nursing home or, you know, get on a waiting list, things like that. Those are so very important. We do a really neat seminar at our Benton Houses called Five Challenges Facing Seniors and How Families Can Help. And we go through the five different challenges, and we can even break it up into smaller sections to use with, you know, church groups or whatnot. But it really is a neat seminar. We give them the tools, the resources to really talk about everything. And it's not even about, you know, Principal Senior Living Group Benton House. It's really about education and resources out there.
You have described, or we now have a contrast between the two stories here, and I think it's important to distinguish what they are. In Blake's situation, he was looking for a place for his mother and was looking for Medicare or Medicaid as a funding or assisting mechanism there. In your case, most of these situations, if not all of these situations, are opposite of that. They're a private pay. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. But, you know, there's lots of different resources out there, whether it be somebody applying for VA benefits. There's, you know, Elder Life Financial can help out in the interim to, you know, provide finances. You know, we just want to get families connected with that life insurance. Now you can, you know, get some money from life insurance type situations. And then, you know, if somebody only has X amount of dollars, you know, I can connect them with other companies and resources that can help them find something that might be in their budget. But I just don't want to turn somebody away and say, oh, sorry, you can't afford us, but yeah, really giving them those.
Now, tell us about the communities that you have. Are, you know, how big are they? Are they, do you have memory communities?
Sure. In our communities, we have assisted living and memory care. One thing very unique and what I love about our memory care is our true dedication to our memory care residents. The way it's configured and shaped up, and it's almost like being in a square, and then all the apartments open up to the main common living area. So nobody's going to get lost down hallways or be upset or frustrated. And just, you know, having those activities and courtyard and being, you know, so much more trained in the different memory care needs of somebody.
And they're all, are they all constructed kind of following the same plan then?
Mm-hmm, they are. There's been a few little tweaks. And of course, Manor on the Square being just recently acquired, that was, you know, an older community that was built by somebody else. So that one's our different one. But for the most part, most of, you know, most of our newer Benton houses are in the same configuration.
And how many rooms do you have?
Typically, our communities are around 60. The one in Stockbridge was an acquisition, and then also it was originally, the new part of it was built for independent living, so it's much larger community in Stockbridge, but typically around 60.
Do you have memory care units in all the facilities?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then in Stockbridge, do you still have independent?
No, we changed that over to assisted living, and then that independent building became assisted living, and then we have another assisted living in memory care on the same community.
How long do residents typically stay with you?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You know, I'm finding even just from being in this field for, you know, six plus years or so, that this people are living longer and, you know, they're staying a lot longer than they used to. But, you know, Benton House of Noonan opened up almost 3 years ago, and we're now kind of cycling through, unfortunately. People are growing older and getting sick and things like that. So a good 3 years, I think, is what you're typically seeing.
Okay. And when someone comes to you from their own home, mm-hmm. What does the adjustment look like, and
sure.
how do you get them comfortable with moving from an environment where they have a lot of privacy, a lot of freedom, to an environment where, you know, they might take and move from a 2,400 square foot house to a 700 square foot unit?
Sure, it's difficult. I mean, you really have to remind the families that probably at home they were living in an island of just everything within arm's reach, maybe only using one of their rooms in their own homes. And really, you know, working with the families and saying, you know, it's going to take a good month to really get adjusted, but we're there. We have a smooth transition program, so it gets all of our managers on board to go by that first week that is so very critical and say, hey, how are you doing? I'm the food service director. What do you like to eat? You know, what are your dislikes? You know, hey, I'm the maintenance man. Can I help you hang some pictures on the wall? And really loving on them, you know, getting them connected with some table mates or, you know, other residents that are our ambassadors, so to speak, to get them to feel good about it. And there again, you know, giving families step-by-step instructions, do this, then do this, call the cable company so that you're not showing up and there's no cable, which, you know, everybody loves their TV. So it's very important to know, tell people what to expect.
I imagine with 60 people, individuals, you've got all your personalities all over the map. Do you see that people are pretty social by and large, or are there those that kind of keep to themselves?
You get a good mix of everything, and you really try hard to, you know, find what somebody likes. So the activity directors are really good about, you know, oh, you like cards, or you like to, I don't know, play bridge or something like that, to get them connected if those activities aren't already happening into the community, you know, finding, going ahead and putting something in place. But, you know, we have a guaranteed activity 3 times a day, mealtime. And so whether or not somebody's real social or not, they're still going to come out of their apartments for those meals and be loved on. And the caregivers are going to be in the apartments cleaning and taking trash out and things like that. So they're going to get a lot of love and attention, whether or not they're that social person sitting at the front door greeting everybody.
How do you make sure that everybody gets some attention?
You know, it's a hard balance when you have so many people, but, you know, it's really taking that time. Oh, you look pretty today. Patting somebody on the shoulder, loving them, hugging them. And, you know, whether it be taking somebody's trash out and visiting in their apartment, just making time to make that person feel special. With all the managers and caregivers involved, I think we really do a good job of touching everybody's life every day.
Yeah, and that right there, touching the physical touching of the and again, I'm not talking about big hugs, but a pat on the hand, getting down to their eye level when you speak with them, touching their shoulder as you know, say your farewells, really, really, really expresses concern and consideration for
sure.
The individual.
Definitely.
Any special events going on in any of your facilities?
Well, you can check us out. Each community has a Facebook page, so just search for us on Facebook. Or you can visit, the easiest way to find all of our communities listed together is bentonhouse.com. And on our homepage, there's even a neat little video about who we are and what we do. But then you can also see some of our upcoming events posted on there.
Right. So. And we always like to, we love stories around this place. Do you have a story that you could share with our listening audience about an experience with one of your residents?
Gosh, I think one of my most neatest experience is when Benton House of Noonan was first opening, sweet little lady was choosing her apartment. She looked at all these different apartments and trying to figure out which one, you know, that she wanted. Finally decided on one, and we're like, okay, this is it. So we came out of the apartment, and I was like, okay, so it's her apartment 108. That was her husband's birthday, was 10-8. And so, you know, that was meant to be. So I think that's a really neat thing how, you know, she picked out something that was supposed to be there, even though she might have been a little bit hesitant to move to our community. It just made everything better.
That's great. You know, you can tell by your expression and watching you speak that you enjoy what you do. What's the most rewarding thing? What do you get the most out of?
Well, I think being in my role now, what's so neat is I have 60 seniors essentially at all my communities that I get to go and visit at least once a week and love on and see.
300? How can you do that?
There you go. And then when, you know, you're having a really bad day, you can know which, you know, person to go visit or go hang out in memory care for a little bit and just really love on some folks, which can make you feel a lot better.
That's great. For our listening audience, if we have someone who's facing a crisis as Blake has been enduring lately, what piece of advice can you give them? I mean, how where do they begin, and give them that golden nugget?
Sure. You know, expect the unexpected, because anything at any time could happen to any of us. And I think really being prepared and doing the research, checking everything out so that, you know, if a healthy father, you know, were to break a hip or something, you just need to know what's in place, respite programs, adult day services, what types of services, whether it be home care, what's out there, so that you can easily have a plan formulated 2 years ago, and then you can activate it when needed.
It's such a good point, you know, expecting the unexpected. I remember about a year ago we had a client. It's a woman who was about 55 years old, and her husband was not even 5 years older than her and was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he went down really, really fast, and to the point where he didn't recognize her. He couldn't sit up straight. He needed help with every facet of daily living. And she had an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old child. And she was just bewildered, just, you know, dumbstruck at how this could have happened to her at 55 years old. And it was really sad to watch, you know, and you do what you can to help people like that. But to your point, expecting the unexpected. And even when you're in your 50s, even when you're in your 40s, we've had stroke victims in their 40s before. We've certainly had cancer patients, and you just don't know what's going to happen. And it's good to be aware of what's out there, what your options are, and, you know, what you might have to do someday.
Sure, definitely.
So for our listeners that might want to contact you, I have Lithonia, Douglasville, Noonan, Roswell. I'm missing one. What am I missing?
Well, specifically for me, I'm at Douglasville, Noonan, Covington, Stockbridge, and Manor on the Square, Roswell. Otherwise, you know, we have one that we're breaking ground in Alpharetta, Johns Creek, Sugar Hill.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are busy.
Double.
So Lithonia, I picked that up
from my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if they want to visit your grandmother's old house, they can go to Lithonia. Otherwise,
right.
You know, there's a community probably in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants a tour, they can go online, get mm-hmm. your address, and
definitely.
Can you give us the address that they could go online and check out the facilities?
BentonHouse.com. That's going to be the best.
Pretty simple, huh?
Yep, okay. It's real easy to do.
Good. And if by chance can they contact you if they mm-hmm. have any questions, how
sure.
can they contact you?
My email address is gcouch@principalseniorliving.com.
Okay. We certainly appreciate that, Ginger. Good information. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Blake, we appreciate you, appreciate your efforts this Saturday, and
my
wish
pleasure.
You the best in upcoming events with your parents.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good information. Thank you both for being here. We want to remind our listeners that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at ugeriaradio.com. And as we always close, If the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ujiria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.